Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network.
You're listening to the newchurches.com Q&A podcast.
Podcast. Let's just go with it. No, I like it. I think we go with it. Q&A podcast. Here we're going to talk about all kinds of fish that are caught in Maine. Cod and other kinds of fish as well. You know, let's talk a little more about the cod. The cod's kind of a famous fish.
Oh,
no,
man.
Let's do it. We can do it. What else can we do? Let's talk about cod. Cod is a, what is it actually
called? Do you like cod fish and chips?
I don't remember to be perfectly honest, but I do remember, if my recollection serves me, that when early on in the nation's history, there were so many cod off the New England coast that they would swim in huge pools. And this was kind of a key part of actually the founding of our country. I think that's true.
I'm trying to Google it quickly.
Here it is. It is. Boom. Here it is. Cod has been an important economic commodity since the Viking era. See, I knew this.
Oh, wow.
I not know really odd things?
That
I do.
Crazy. Have you ever wanted to go on a trivia show?
Okay, fun fact. By the way, cod used to be known as British gold. British gold. There were so many of them. Cod was all right. I was actually on, what's the show? Jeopardy. So I tried out for Jeopardy.
Okay.
Right. And so I got down at the big hotel. You got to fill out this test and you get down to a handful. And I got down to the handful who could go on to, it was one step away from television.
Wow.
And what happened was I couldn't answer the question, what is the largest north flowing river in the what was then the Soviet Union? And I did not know the answer to that question. And thus, you did not see me on Jeopardy.
How old were you? When was this?
Maybe early 20s. Maybe.
Wow.
Maybe. It's been on a long time. By the way, have you ever heard of the Cod Wars?
No.
These are true things. It was between the UK and
This up, right? There's no way know.
No, this is so I know this because it's in, you never go to Hamilton. So Halifax. Okay. There's a big thing about cod that Don and I went to in Halifax, which for those of you who don't know is a Canadian city. And so I don't remember the details about that, but there was just stuff we saw there about cod. There's a big maybe cod like cannery or something like that. So much of that whole area up in the Northeast was really connected to the cod. Well, so anyway, welcome to our codcast.
There you go, the codcast. This is probably the first leadership podcast that has ever talked about cod for 2.5 minutes.
You never know. Sorry. We'd like to apologize for wasting your time. Hey. If I was prepared, I'd know more.
All right. Hey, you know what? Talking about Canada, we actually have a question from Canada, from the city that
cod?
I used to pastor in. No, it isn't.
Oh. What city was that?
Edmonton, Alberta.
Edmonton, that's where the cool people hang out. I thought you were going to say like Sussex, New Brunswick, or Fredericton. So anyway,
all right,
I'm ready.
So this question, just to give you a little bit of context, we're going to go straight into probably the middle of it. And this guy, David, he's been working at his church for about 80 years.
He planted his church 80 years ago.
Been at his
and
church.
And he's 97 now. Have you been maybe drinking a little bit today? Because I don't think that you're allowed to at Lifeway. But anyway,
No. I did have Jenny's ice cream, though.
That'll do it to anybody. That'll mess up your brain.
All right. But the church has been around for 80 years. They're looking into splitting their blended service. So right now they have a contemporary and traditional service.
Okay, tell them, first of all, we don't split anything. We multiply. We're going to multiply our services. Go ahead.
So basically, we'll get right into the question here, but he's asking, he's talking about the idea of congregations, multiple congregations within the same church building, this idea of him being a campus pastor of a site that is in the same building. So let's listen in to the question.
Hey, Daniel, Ed, and the rest of the New Churches team. My name's David, and I am currently working at a church up in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada. It's an older church. It's been around for a little over 80 years, and so we're kind of going through a few different transitions. It's definitely an older church, and so we're not going multi-site in maybe the traditional way, and we're not pursuing multiplication and maybe more of a planting or a multi-site model, but we've looked into splitting our blended service, and we're actually holding contemporary services and more traditional services in two different rooms, both on Sunday. We have different staff that are kind of working in both rooms. That's part of why I came on, and so we've done some renovations to our facility. We've got some new IT, some new tech, some different stuff going behind that. Lots of new volunteers and recruitment. It's been going really well. But my question is kind of in a situation like this, what we've been calling a like an internal church plant or an internal multi-site where we're still in the same facility, what tips, what advice would you guys have for pastoring a group as an internal multi-site when you're still in the same building, you're working with the same team? How do you maintain unity in both congregations when you're meeting separately and in the same building? How do you not cause divisiveness and competition? I mean, that's, yeah, those are some of the questions we're kind of processing through as a team. And as we're going through things, we're looking at how we can evaluate some of those things. So love to hear your thoughts on internal planting and on planting very different styles of service, and give tips for what it would be like to be a campus pastor in that context. Yeah, thanks.
Should we process this with him?
Yes.
We're going to process about this. First of all, here's the key. I think it's really one key. Cod dinners together. Catch some cod. No, it's a serious question. All right. So you start. I always have to start. You start. What's your thoughts?
Well, going on with the cod, when I was in Australia, fish and chips, did you know that if they don't tell you what kind of fish they're serving you, it's shark?
I didn't know that. Is that for real?
Yeah. No, for sure. Because shark is, yeah, there's just a lot of meat and boneless, and there's a ton of different reasons for that. So anyway,
so it's not cod. That's disappointing. It's not cod. It should be cod.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So this is an interesting question because typically, right, typically if it's a question about multi-site, I would answer it with Todd, the other co-host.
Are you implying
on the podcast?
That I don't? There's another co-host on the podcast.
But the reason I wanted to...
They don't tell me anything, listeners, anything.
But the reason I wanted to do this with you, Ed, was because it's, you know, in a sense, it's in the same context. And even when I consider where you're at right now, Moody, right? I mean, how old is Moody?
Are you saying I'm Moody? Oh, wait, the church, yeah.
Yeah,
it's 150 years old.
Yeah, 150 years.
It's the oldest... Oldest extant megachurch in the world, extant as in continual existing as a megachurch.
Yeah, so I wanted to get your opinion because you've been there. I mean, before Moody, you hadn't pastored in, I guess, this long. You know, it's an interim, but this long in that of an established church, right? That old of an established church?
Yeah, I think that's fair to say. I've always done church planning, yep.
Yeah, so in light of that, let's say you were given, let's say you were going to plant a church within Moody. Right, or you were going to plant more of a traditional service, or not traditional, more contemporary service, or do a campus/church plant, but it was going to be within Moody, not, you know, at a different service time. I'm just curious, in your mind, how would you go about doing that?
Well, I think that's the concern a lot of churches have, is how do we lose our sense, will we lose our sense of community?
Yeah.
And I think part of the answer is yes, but the other side of it. Now again, they're gonna be two service styles in one building.
Yeah.
Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah,
in one
and two different rooms. Mm-hmm.
And two different
and
rooms.
Two different and teams.
Two different teams. And so none of that, like, I mean, first of all, I would say to them, why do you have to be one church? But you know, they didn't ask us that. But I would say there's nothing wrong with five churches meeting in a church building.
Yeah.
You know, but it sounds like they want to, for reasons we don't know for sure, but they want to keep that sense of community there. So what I would say is, and let me broaden it, and I'll come back to the specific, but I hear this a lot from churches who say, we don't want to go to services, it'll ruin the community of our church. And a lot of times that means sometimes that means they don't want a traditional service and a contemporary service. Let me tell you, as far as the traditional and contemporary service, you know what? In most churches that don't want to have a contemporary service because they're traditional, there's a contemporary service in town. It's just at another church where all their kids are going. Hmm. And so that's one of the realities. Actually, a contemporary service added to a traditional church can actually be a thing that keeps the church together in the same church, in the same building, because here's the crazy thing. People don't have to go to church at certain places. They can go other places, and if that's engaging more young adults, that's almost certainly where they're going to go. Okay, but back to the bigger issue. He's just trying to ask how to build that community. And what I would say is talk about ourselves. You know, it's almost cliche, but you know, we're one church in two services. I would have times when we actually join together for things. Now, their building may be too small for that. I don't know. But I would have times when, to the degree we can, we'd gather together. I would have fellowship. I would have joint elders, you know, elders from both congregations serving together. I would swap pulpits between the teams. Now, it sounds like they have one primary team at each congregation.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the language I would use, by the way. We're one church, two congregations.
Yeah,
and that's good. But I would swap between the two so that people can actually Get to know one another and more. So I think those things all would work.
Yeah. No, I love that. Recently, I was talking to this one worship pastor about this sort of idea, and he brought up a really interesting point. He was like, music style, a lot of times our the music style that we prefer in our church is tied to our conversion moment.
Yeah.
So the music that we love, the style of music that we love, hence is very personal, and it's very it helps you connect with the Lord, right? So for example, if you have a church that's been traditional music for the longest time, and your congregation's average age is 50, 60, 70, and that's the music that's what the music's been, and that's the church that's grown up, for you to radically shift and say, okay, all of a sudden we are not going to do two services, we are just going to still have the one service, but flip it, we're going to do blended music, or we're going to go completely contemporary. I mean, no wonder a lot of times you get this revolt, right? Yeah, or you get people leaving. I mean, I know a local church in town that, I mean, lost over 600-700 people because they decided to switch music styles.
No question.
So I love the fact that David's thinking, okay, how do we then do this where we are having these two congregations in two different venues? But what I would say is, I don't necessarily know if you really have to have two separate teams. I feel like that's
overkill. Yeah, that is kind of weird.
Yeah.
I don't know why they're, of course, and it's hard because we don't have like live feedback. I would want to know why that's the case. I could see having one primary preacher in each location. Mm-hmm. And I might swap one out of four, you know, so there's some familiarity with each other. But, you know, why don't you have like one small group strategy with a small group's pastor who goes between the two rooms,
or,
you know, those kinds of things. So, yeah. And makes sense to me.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Now, before we move on and continue to just finishing off this question, I did want to share that today's podcast is brought to you in part by the Living and Effective podcast. This is
ours not living? It's like today's podcast is brought to you by an actual Living and Effective. Are you saying ours is neither living nor effective?
You know, it's that podcast, I guess, is just leveraging those words, right? A little bit differently.
Do you know Richard Clark, who does that podcast?
I don't know him, but we are going to interview him for our Five Leadership Questions podcast.
Okay. He's a good guy. They hired him a few years ago at CT, and very well received both inside and outside. Works with their pastor stuff. And yeah, I've done a couple lunches with him. I actually think I ran into him just downtown because, you know, it's like a little cult up here. Christianity Today and Wheaton are all part of some evangelical cabal. And Richard's a great one. So anyway, tell more about the podcast. I interrupted you. Sorry.
Yeah. Well, actually, the best way to learn more about the podcast is to listen to this.
We set out to make a podcast exploring how God uses scripture to shape and change the world. And I'll be honest with you, this has not gone the way we planned. Join me for a podcast series about the surprising ways the Bible works. Subscribe to Living and Effective on iTunes and learn more at livingandeffective.com.
All right, Ed. So as we just wrap up this question, I mean, what advice would you, because not knowing why they need to have two completely separate teams, what advice would you give David specifically as he steps into this role to navigate this for this church? Because it doesn't seem like he's a senior pastor. Right, but he's going to.
That's true.
He's the campus pastor.
Yeah. And we don't know what that means as far as like preaching too. Again, we don't have all the details. I would just say, build not just team within the two teams. There are two staff teams. You need to build some camaraderie between them for sure. But I would also say, and this is so key, is to build a teamship in the congregation.
Yeah.
Shared elders, shared leadership. I would say one small group structure is really, really key. Those kinds of things. So I think all of those things are part of it. And I would say, I mean, there's so many books on starting a second service out there. I'm trying to even remember. Didn't Bill Donahue write one? And there are several of them. There are actually some good reports. I'm Googling while I'm talking about starting a second service. And COD just showed up on my computer screen.
COD is going to follow you around.
Exactly. Everywhere I search, I'm going to see COD. So there's several things like churchleaders.com. Our friends there has how to launch a second worship service. And they actually list things like how to keep that community connected, five mistakes, you know. So what I would say is glean some of those resources and just sort of follow them. And I think, again, this is not so unique. This is not, hey, this is totally out of blue. People do this all the time. And you can make that connection between the two services by making sure it's seen as one church, two congregations.
Yeah, the biggest thing for me would be scale. So, I mean, the thing that you don't want to be is too staff heavy. You don't want your budget, your church budget, to be too staff heavy either. So if there are ways that you can have one person, and even if you look at your entire staff and be like, okay, how many of these staff members are equippers and how many of them are doers, right? You don't want to be paying doers, especially in a context as you have two congregations, there's going to be a lot of overlap. So what does it look like to, as Ephesians 4 talks about, equip the saints for the work of ministry so that whoever is on staff, paid staff, that they are, that their main role is equipping. And a lot of times that equipping can be done together. So even if you, let's say you have a church banquet, right? Appreciation banquet, do it all together. If you're doing this big training seminar, do it all together. If you're doing an outreach into your community, why separate it out, right? Do it together. So any way that you can live out that vision, that's going to be great. And most importantly, you'll have to really communicate it to your church, the why. You'll have to communicate that why really well so that they don't see it as a consumeristic thing where it's like, oh, you like that music? Go there. Or you like that music? Go there. Yeah. But you need to reflect it in the sense of, okay, hey, this service is really going to be, we're going to be focusing and reaching out to. And for this service, the reason the music is this way is because we want to create a welcoming place to reach out to. And then you can really have it be more mission focused rather than just kind of church consumeristic focused.
And that's sort of the danger. The danger mostly boils down to preferential strategies of religious people. And here's what, this is something I don't think I've ever told before on our podcast. So I planted a church, well, I said that before, in Erie, Pennsylvania. And we went to our second service, and our first service was contemporary. We started a more traditional service. Which
for
I'm
your second
probably,
service?
Yep. Oh, yep. Wow. Probably okay. Never heard of that before, did you?
No.
And it wasn't like super traditional, but it was a little more traditional. And the reason is we had a group of our people who said, you know, this is a more traditional community, Erie, Pennsylvania, blue collar traditional community. And here's what I said to them. I said, first of all, I'm not anti that. I'm fine. I'm a Moody church. You know, I got robes and orchestras. but I'm not anti that. But what I said is I'm fine with that. I'm for that. I'm all in on that as long as we're reaching people by that. Not just taking, you know, 100 people out of our existing service who would rather have their customer needs met in a traditional church service. Yeah, and so that was kind of the deal. And they were all in. They were like, we believe there's a significant number of people that we can invite to church that wouldn't come to the full-on. I mean, we actually had our worship team was actually a band. It was a country band. I had the privilege of leading several of them to Christ, and a couple of them recommitted their lives to the Lord. The band was called Coyote Joe. And so they're up there. So our music was kind of smoking. And so then we started our more traditional, we call it a blended service. We had a contemporary and a blended service. So they weren't really traditional. And we actually saw people start coming to faith in Christ there. And so I'm like, okay, I'm all in.
That's good. Well, David and the rest of our listeners, we hope that was helpful, that you would be able to, that hopefully you could take away a few points here and there to implement in your church this week. And as we come up to the Christmas season, we're going to be rolling right through. We're going to be releasing continually 2 episodes a week. So hopefully you can join in. The next time Ed and I are together, we're going to be talking about our writing process. So that'll be a fun kind of in between Christmas and New Year's episode.
Oh,
yeah. So this will be a fun one
just to
talk about. Yeah. All right. So, but before we check out, be sure to check out the Making Disciples podcast with Robbie Gallaty and Chris Swain.
Oh my gosh.
This podcast
is a part of our Lifeway
Leadership
podcast. Have we sold our souls here?
No.
Have we sold our souls?
We are promoting and encouraging one another to listen to each other's podcast.
Gallaty's a beast. He was texting me complaining about something like a couple days ago. So I like,
he's a,
oh, I know. He wanted me to endorse a book.
He's like,
well, he could take you. Have you seen his? He's like hands can fit over your head and crush you. He's like, he's a beast. So when I was just down there, but he was texting me because he wanted to endorse his book, and then he was complaining I didn't get it done on time. So I guess we have to endorse his podcast. So this is part of like some deal we've made with all these people. Do they promote our podcast?
Yes, they do. Yeah, they do.
All right, I don't believe that, but I'll see. Did they mention that there's another co-host, Todd or something or other, that's on there?
Well, it depends whether they call this the Todd and Daniel or Ed and Daniel podcast. So
I think it would be Ed. And other. I'm assuming it would be Daniel and others. That's the podcast we need. Daniel
sounds
and
like a
couple
band.
Others.
Sounds like a
it
band.
It does. It does. It's no Coyote Joe, but it does sound
hey,
like a
so
band.
So if we were in a band together, what instrument would you play?
Well, I do play guitar, electric guitar, so I would play that.
Okay. Todd said he'd be
what
the
do
bass.
You,
Todd said he'd be the bass guitar.
Really? You actually had this discussion? What were you going to do?
I play guitar too, and I sing, so.
Well, you got to. If you're going to be a pastor, it's like a rule.
Exactly.
But do you like? Are you like on the worship team at your church?
No, not right now, but I did back in the day, so.
Nice. Nice. I love it.
All right.
Love it. Okay. See ya.